Well, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in and for joining us here for the Chapel of Divine Mercy. I want to encourage you to do one thing today. Tell one other person. Get on your phone, send them a quick email or a text and say, hey, you need prayer? We're going to join together. We're going to pray the chaplet together with countless souls, souls not only throughout the United States, but around the world. And it's a powerhouse prayer. We get so many answered prayers here every day as a result of the chaplet. What a wonderful act of mercy that would be to tell somebody else to tune in and to pray along with you. If you need prayer, a couple ways you can get in. You can always try to get through on the phones. They fill up relatively quickly. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And, of course, you can always hit Maggie up. She is on our Twitter account, or our X account. Send her a post at Drew Mariani Show. That's at Drew Mariani Show. Or, you know, if you are watching on YouTube or on Facebook, feel free to go ahead and send a message that way. Maggie has her eyes on those as well. All right, we'll take those. She'll give you some voice, and we'll pray for God's mercy. I want to remind you about something I just came across. I was looking at the calendar, and, you know, if you are praying for a financial need, maybe a spouse, maybe a job, maybe to sell a house, St. Joseph's Feast Day is on the 19th of March. If you start today, I think that's 9 days. Maybe it ends one day afterwards. I was just thinking about this. I started a novena yesterday at St. Joseph. I just want to throw that out to you. He's a powerhouse intercessor. It can be short. Maybe pray for peace in the world. Ask him to do it. But what a beautiful way to pray during Lent and at the same time to honor this wonderful, wonderful saint. So that's coming up. We'll call upon his intercession as we do every day. Hey, lots of prayers coming in, petitions and answered prayers. Let me just share with you a quick petition that came in. This person says, could you pray for my son? And I'm going to leave his name anonymous. They say he's struggling with depression and anxiety. He's a sophomore in a Division I university. He's a student athlete, and he's been suffering from depression and anxiety for the past few years. And this is having a profound impact on him. And this mother wrote and says his anxiety has become so bad it manifests actually physically, his physical symptoms. As a result, this has low self-esteem, low confidence. And here's a brokenhearted mother just praying for her son, saying, could you pray for my husband who's having a very difficult time at his job? He's worked for his company for 32 years, has a new boss that he is struggling with, and he feels like my husband cannot be successful in his role. It appears he might be let go in the next few weeks, which would be devastating. Would you pray for a miracle that my husband can keep his job and continue to work at this company? After 32 years of service, and you are up in age, it's hard to find work. So we'll certainly pray for that and for anyone looking for work. I say to you, turn to St. Joseph, right? Ask St. Joseph to intercede for that particular job. Another person wrote, so you pray for my husband, Rick. He has an angiogram today. Prayers that his doctors can find out what's causing his high blood pressure. Do that. And one final one. Could you pray for my brother-in-law, Victor, this person writes. He has Parkinson's now for 10 years, but is suffering severe pain, had a knee replacement, had severe back pain. Impossible. Surgical intervention may be needed. My sister Don is also suffering. They say, could you please pray for these intentions? Just some, Maggie, as you know, the many that are coming in. And I apologize to all those that we don't give voice to, but know that you are prayed for. We read everyone, and we pray for everyone. What's coming under your end, Meg?
I would like to lift up prayers for the small island country of Haiti. It looks like complete upheaval is happening in that society. So I just want to pray for the good and innocent people there.
You were talking about cannibalism there?
There is a gang leader that has taken control of the country because the prime minister is out of the nation and is, I think, not coming back. And apparently the gang leader is a cannibal and leads cannibals. And his nickname is Barbecue.
Oh, horrible. All right, we'll play for Haiti. Poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Abject poverty there. I've seen it. I want to give God thanks for all that we have here in this country and for protection over our nation as well. So let's do that. One quick answered prayer. Let me share some good news as we leave some of these dark intentions. Hey, Maggie, Drew, thank you for your prayers for my cousin's daughter, Eileen, who at the time had undergone a brain bleed followed by a stroke, which left her paralyzed on one side. At the same time, she was diagnosed with the fourth stage brain cancer, for which she underwent chemo and several brain surgeries. Her prognosis for survival was not good. Several months later, you and the Relevant Radio listener prayer team prayed for Eileen during the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and Eileen suddenly began to improve. She began to improve until she got to the point of actually having zero cancer. Zero cancer on repeated brain scans. Eileen, I am proud to say, is now cancer-free. This is a miracle of God. Her recovery has truly amazed the doctors. Thank you for your prayers for her continued healing. And thanks, guys, for the Divine Mercy Chaplet and for all the work that you do at Relevant Radio. God bless you, Patricia. Patricia, thank you. We're going to continue to pray for her. We'll pray for you. And I often say, God is bigger than cancer, right? Cancer's not greater than God. God can heal, and he can defy the laws of science. He can amaze doctors. He can reverse your financial hardship. He can heal your broken relationship. Let's pray for that now, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Eva. She is praying with us in Sacramento. Hi, Eva. Good afternoon.
Hi, Maggie and Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to include my sisters. Both were diagnosed with cancer at the same time.
Okay.
One, Alice, has pancreatic cancer, and Mila has breast cancer. I would also like to pray for all their doctors, that they handle this efficiently, and I'm begging the Lord to bless my mom. She's 94 years old, and she's feeling bad that they both had cancer.
Oh, I can only imagine. I'm sorry to hear that, Eva. Yeah, you know, we just heard, and maybe it's providential that you called today, how God works. Right? We just heard this incredible answered prayer. You know, stage 4 brain cancer, gone. Totally miraculous. Scan after scan saying there are no cancerous cells. Doctors are truly amazed. Let's put your sister pancreatic cancer, we know, serious. All these intentions you just voiced. Lord, I give you today those who are fighting the battle with cancer. And one out of three Americans, I think, at some point in your life will have it. So you look around your family or your workplace or those that you love. And Lord, I just pray for protection against this disease. I pray for a cure for it. I do pray for those who are in the fight with it, who are carrying the cross. You give them special graces. And if in your mercy, Lord, and as a witness to your great power. There'd be many miracles, many healings, many answered prayers, the vanquishing of many cases of cancer. I pray for that, Lord. I pray also, Lord, for the family members who have loved ones that are sick with it. You fortify them as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Did I add an extra one there, Mac? Was that an extra prayer?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. You might have. I don't know.
For the souls in purgatory.
You never pray too much. That's what I had to say. All right. Our next call comes. It's Mary, right? Naperville. Mary is listening to us there in Illinois. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, Maggie. Bless both of you.
Thanks.
And for blessings for what you do. I have a granddaughter by the name of Phelan. She's been having several issues with her blood, and they finally discovered that she's predisposed to a genetic condition passed on from, I would imagine, one or both parents. But I'm praying for her for a miracle so that down the road as she progresses, that this could also affect her heart and liver, and that would not be the case. I pray, like I said, for a miracle for her.
Okay, well, let's do that. I love that. That's the way I pray, right? I think about it, and I contemplate on the enormity of God, right, and his creation. You think about our planet and then our solar system and our galaxy even, and then the multiple galaxies that are out there. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. I mean, it's just so enormous. God knows each one of our intentions. And since he's the creator of all things and he's above all the laws of nature, he put him in a place he can certainly suspend those, and he can bring healing. He can eradicate cancer. He can allow you, if you're struggling right now, to find a way out of that situation that seems to have no way out. So, Lord, I'm praying for miracles today. That's my prayer for all those who are struggling, especially with health, with blood disorders, with cancer, with genetic issues, with finances. I want to pray for a friend of mine whose son had a real scare the other day, and he had a race out to be with his son. So we're going to lift him up. And for all those, Lord, who are seeing signs that their marriage is over, whatever the situation is, and as impossible as it may seem, I bring these to you. And I ask for your mercy as I pray big today, Lord, for many, many miracles. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Waldwick, New Jersey, Mark is waiting to join us. Let me jump over to Maggie. And Maggie, I know you see a lot of intentions. What can we pray for today?
Yes, I just wanted to lift up my Uncle Rick is having surgery today to remove a spot on his kidney. Okay. And he's had prostate cancer in the past, so the family is concerned for him. So I'd like to lift up prayers of healing for my Uncle Rick and my Aunt Pam. We also need to pray for the soul of Armando DeSantis, who passed away this weekend. Great name.
Armando
DeSantis. It's great. Steve wrote to us and said, please pray for John, a friend of mine who's experiencing some significant health issues that are interfering with his daily activities. Whitney in La Crosse, Wisconsin wrote to us. She said, I'm asking for healing prayers for my Aunt Mary Jane, aged 91, who has a cancerous lymph node. She will be evaluated soon to see what kind of treatment is available. She is an avid listener to Relevant Radio and looks forward each day to praying for others with Drew during the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We are asking for a big cure, holding out a big cup.
Praying big today, right, man? Let's pray for miracles. Let's pray for the impossible.
Yeah. Myra on Facebook is praying for healing for her daughter. And let's see, we've got Nancy praying for her friend Cecile for her health and financial blessings.
All right. You know, a lot of intentions have come in. A lot have been emailed. Really, a good way to get them is to Maggie on X, because she's always having her eyes on that, and our Facebook page as well. And let's just pray. We'll pray right now. I know if the lines are full, sometimes people have difficulty getting through. I'll do my best to get you on the air. Mark is praying with us in New Jersey, near Newark. And Mark, it's good to have you online with us today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I want to extend to you a prayer of thanksgiving, because after praying with you and for many, many years, and praying for my sister for 10 years, she called me last night in tears, saying she just returned to the sacraments of confession.
Oh my gosh, that's great!
And desperately wants to make her Easter duty.
Oh my gosh!
And she's been talking to me, and I've been trying to, you know, best I can. I was, you know, helping her and encouraging her not to be afraid, and to approach the sacrament. So that's just the power of prayer and the power of God's mercy.
Amen. Walk her through it. Make sure she gets there. It'll be the best, you know, best celebration of her life. Divine Mercy Sunday's coming up too. What a great day.
Yeah, she went to confession on Saturday.
Oh,
she called me in tears of joy.
And, oh my gosh.
And I have a prayer of my own. My wife and I, we have 8 children.
Oh, good.
And I'm working 2 jobs to try to make ends meet, as many families are experiencing difficulties.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, with the Feast of St. Joseph coming up, worker, for prayers for additional resources so I can provide for my family.
Yeah, to turn to him. I went through a difficult time too at one point financially, and I've shared it many times. I did that trifecta of prayers. I turned to the Mother of God. I invoked a novena to St. Joseph, and one to the Child Jesus as the Infant of Prague. And, you know, God surprised me many times with his providence. But Mark, I'll say a prayer for you today, okay? I promise. You're an inspiration to a lot of people who right now are praying for their wayward children, their wayward siblings, their wayward parents, their spouses. 10 years is a long time to pray and not to give up. And it seemed impossible, but you can rejoice in your sister's return. And I know your prayers had a profound impact on that. And for anyone right now who's praying, don't give up. All right, it might take you a year. It might take you 10 like it did Mark. It might take you 20 or 30 like some of the great saints, right? Do not give up. St. Faustina talked about how sacrifice sometimes is important to bringing about conversion. But the Lord did tell her that the one prayer that's always heard and answered is this. So keep praying. The Lord will give that soul the grace that they need. So I want to pray in thanksgiving for Mark and for this answered prayer and for all those who are away from the faith, especially those in our own family, those we love. God will give them super abundance of grace. But I do want to pray for Mark and anyone who's struggling financially. It's expensive out there right now, and it's hard. Credit card debts are mounting. People are falling behind. Lord, I ask for mercy and financial blessings, for providence on all those right now who are saying, I need a break. I need a blessing. So, Lord, make it visible. And I turn to you with trust as I come before the foot of the cross of your Son and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tom is in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Tom. Good to have you.
Hi, guys. My prayer request is for my mechanic that I use, just found out he has ALS.
Mm. Oh.
Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah, he's only 40 years old. Oof. So that for complete healing, so he can still work on my car.
I love it.
Also for my children to return to church.
Amen to that.
Well, come back to church.
Thomas, pray for your kids, especially for conversion. And what a beautiful prayer for your mechanic. He's lucky to have you. When he gets his miraculous healing, tell him he owes you free service, all right? We'll lift him up right now. Lord, I pray for Tom. And we do pray for all those with these debilitating diseases. And ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, is a tough one. Lord, I pray for anyone right now that is carrying that cross or any of these other debilitating diseases I said. And I ask for physical healings. Restored sight and mobility, Lord. You allowed the deaf to hear. You raised the dead. May today be a day of unbelievable answered prayers, of many physical healings. And as they happen to you, let us know. Write to us, drew@relevantradio.com. That's the email for the show. Mark at answered prayers, because I know that God hears these prayers. Tomorrow, I'll share answered prayers with you. I'll share how many miracles are coming in. Lord, I also pray for conversion. And I give you my heart. I pray that I can grow in greater sanctity and holiness. And I pray for those who don't know you, those who are most in need of your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, to Addison, Wisconsin. Next, Ann is listening to us there. Hi, Ann. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to pray for my husband. He struggles with many addictions. Alcohol and drugs and inappropriate relationships with women. And there's a colleague that he's been getting close to, and it's turned into more of a girlfriend relationship than a professional one.
Oh my.
And I recently heard that she's pursuing a divorce.
Oh, no. You're worried about your husband leaving you for her?
She has a stepchild and a 3-year-old, and we have a 1.5-year-old.
Oh my. I'm so sorry.
And quite concerned about this relationship and where it's headed. And I'm just praying for a miraculous conversion. And just desperate.
Well, I am going to pray for you right now. Maggie was just saying to me, and Maggie, you were suggesting Our Lady, the Undoer of Knots.
I believe the prayers to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, were contrived in a royal marriage that was devolving in the same way that Anne is describing with her husband. And the innocent party prayed that prayer to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, and it ironed itself out.
And my heart goes out to you. I cannot imagine the suffering that you're going through, the anxiety, even the fear. And I know you love your husband.
Can we also pray for her and her marriage?
Yes.
That is strengthened and healed.
Of course.
You're such
a beautiful... That is to say that pray for her.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful soul you are. That's called heroic virtue. And we're going to pray right now. You know what? I'm so glad you called today. Because you not only have my prayers and you have Maggie's, but you have everyone that's praying with us right now. You know how many hearts are being touched by what you're saying right now? How many prayers and rosaries and hours of adoration and chaplets and sacrifices are going to come your way? I'm going to believe right now for you, okay? I'm going to believe that God is going to hear these prayers. And I'm going to stand on what St. Faustina was told by our Lord when he says, people do not know the scope of our Lord's mercy. They do not know the scope of it, and they don't ask for big enough things. We're going to ask for restoration of your marriage and hers, okay? And when that happens, I want you to call us back. I want you to testify to the power of these prayers. You know, I want you to check out RetroVi. There's a great organization that's out there that might even be able to give you some advice on how to talk to your husband. Maybe get it on her radar as well. You know, your husband has a beautiful child with you. Our duty is to trust entirely in God's mercy. And then he promised he would give us everything that we need. He says, you know, I make myself dependent on your trust. If your trust is great, then my generosity will be without limit. So I'm going to trust right now for a big miracle for you. Patrick just gave me the web address for you. If you want to look up RetroVi, it's helparmarriage.org. Helparmarriage.org. And Lord, right now I pray for all these impossible situations. I pray for miracles to take place for those who don't see any way out of their situation. Lord, I know that you are with us in our adversity. I know you gave us great promises, Lord. And you said the more a soul trusts, the more that it will receive. So I trust right now that graces are flowing and that through this chapel, we will obtain what we ask for. And I give you all who are united with me now in this prayer. And we turn to you, Lord, bringing to you this wounded wife and mother, and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
The eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Undoer of Knots.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Please pray for these intentions you've heard. I promise you I'll be praying for you. And send me your answer prayers. Email me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's drew@relevantradio.com. Mark an answer prayer or praise report. I'm going to share how God is working through this chaplet. And hang in there. If you're going through a difficult time, God knows your situation, and he will never give you a cross too heavy to bear. Also, stay with me. I'll be back with much more. Don't go away. Hey, join Father Rocky this September for a pilgrimage to Poland and Prague. You'll visit the lands of St. John Paul the Great, St. Faustina, Our Lady of Częstochowa, and the Infant Child of Prague. Seats are limited. Information at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Let's continue to pray for all those intentions that have come in. And for that last caller, my heart goes out to that mother and that wife. Maybe at some point, maybe we'll revisit that and Maybe you've been through it. You could testify. You can share how God heard your prayers, how your marriage has been restored, how God can't even heal a broken marriage. And it's a tough thing because, man, it's an icy cold knife to the heart. It really is that type of betrayal. You know, it's a gut punch. So my heart goes, I'm going to be praying for her. Please do the same thing. I believe in miracles. I expect miracles. You know, I stand on the promises that God has given us. And I look forward to hearing how things ultimately work out. And, of course, we'll be praying for you as well. My colleague here at work, Patrick Alog, he's on the phones today. He sent me an article that kind of it grabbed my attention. I thought we could talk a little bit about it because I get kind of frustrated when I see people going into stores, and you've seen this wrath of robberies, right? People going into high-end stores, and they're just filling up bags. Gangs of people are going in, and they're leaving with stuff that doesn't belong to them, right? They're just stealing it. In some states, if you steal less than $1,000, it's a slap on the wrist, you know. But he sent me an article that says Walmart and Target are limiting self-checkout in some stores now because 15% of consumers have stolen from self-checkout. And people were asked, and they're going to do it again. You know what else I saw, which is really weird? I live in a state where there's a lot of tollways. You might too. People have been dodging tolls, and they think it's clever, right? In fact, I went online, I saw this blog, and somebody's saying, how can I avoid these tolls? I paid $700 this month, or however much they paid, right, or the ridiculous number was. And they're looking for techniques to do it. One person said they were going to take tape and turn their, J into a zero, or they were going to change the numbers. One person went so far as to buy a shade that, with an electronic button, can be installed, goes down over the license plate, so as you go through, they can't read anything. They see the shade, you go past, you lift it back up. So it's not like the police are going to say, oh, yeah, there's that car. You know, it was license plate so and so. No. Bottom line, it's called stealing, right? You're taking what doesn't belong to you. It goes against the seventh commandment. You walk into any big retail store these days, and you find these checkout lanes in the front of the stores. And the stores trust you're going to be honest. These self-checkout lanes. Walmart was probably the first one to use them. It has a double-edged sword. It cuts labor costs, right? The less people have to be there to scan you out. They didn't really want to pay the employees for that. But it's, some people like it. It can be convenient if you have one or two items, right? The other problem is people take advantage of them. You go to big box stores. I think Sam's, you can get an app. You can scan and walk out. Randomly scan three of your items. LendingTree did this survey recently, and they found that 15% of respondents said they've stolen from stores using self-checkout. Maybe you have. I don't know. Why would you do that? Tell me. Right? On top of that, 44% of that group said, I would do it again. What is the rationale behind that? I work hard, right? I stock my shelf, my store. What gives you a right to come in and steal something that I own? Right, that's really what it is. But people have a different attitude towards the man, right? Towards the big box store, to corporate America. Retailers have been struggling with retail loss, meaning that people are stealing from them big time, either through shoplifting or through organized theft. And that's what we're talking about out west. When Gavin Newsom, he was in a Target recently. I don't know if we played that audio. We probably did. I heard it multiple times. Guy walked out with a bunch of items, and somebody asked him, "Why'd you do it?" And he says, oh, it's because of the governor's policies, Governor Newsom. The governor tweeted, that he could walk out with $340 worth of stuff and not have to pay for it, and that's not what I said. I never said you can do that. But this is the mess, right? The governor did not like the guy saying that he could do it, Why didn't anybody stop me? Well, the governor's policies. Oh, the governor didn't like it. Fox News, Walmart, Target, a lot of different people are now... Fox News has been reporting on this, but I know a lot of other people are now beginning to take a look at these areas. So I thought we'd take a look at the morality of this. What drives somebody to steal? And what's wrong? Okay, going into a store and taking it? Yes. There's other ways of stealing. And what's the church teach about recompense? That's another thing we should talk about too. How do you get right with God? How do you make atonement for this? I hope you're a law-abiding citizen. Right, I hope you're a moral person and you would not do this, and I hope you're instilling those values into your kids. Turn on your TV. This stuff is way too common. Monsignor Bransfield joins me now. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, served as General Secretary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops from 2015 to 2020, and he's been here. I first learned of him when he wrote a book on angels called Our Guardians in Spiritual Battle, but he's been back ever since. Great to have him with me once again to explore one of the fundamental commandments that all of us must abide by. Monsignor, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners on this important topic.
I always enjoy talking to you, Monsignor. You've got such a balanced perspective, and I like your take. I was shocked by some of these stats. 15% of consumers stolen from a self-checkout. I think 44% said they'd do it again. Before we talk about the morality of all this, give me your sense on why people feel justified in this. It's almost like they've been desensitized to the immorality of this. But how do we get to the point where people think it's justifiable not only to do it, but to do it again?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think your own shock at that shows the virtue that's been internalized in you. Virtue recoils from what's wrong. Yeah. It's a disposition in us that says, no, I wouldn't do what's wrong. Of course, there's also vice. People have been desensitized, and vice is the accumulation of sin in the ways of the world and the ways of sin. It's about power. It's about control. And it's about society as its members get more used to sin. It's a type of hypothermia. We get used to doing what's bad for us, and we don't even recognize the effects on our heart and our soul. And I think that's what you're seeing. People accustomize themselves over time to bad behavior, and that increases. And what you're seeing is the increase. This applied in the area of stealing. Thou shalt not steal is a commandment from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Our Lord mentions it in Matthew 19, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, that thou shalt not steal. And it's a good of society that regards one's neighbor, the goods of the earth, justice, charity, the fruit of man's labor, that you can't take as your private property, something that belongs to another. So it's interconnected with so many paths of the virtues, so many paths of the commandments. So when you say, I'm shocked by it, that's a good sign. It's a sign of grace and virtue developing in all those who are shocked by it.
Not for any credit for myself, but you know, I just remember being given 10 cents too much back once, and I was in my car and I'm thinking, 10 cents, well, it doesn't belong to me. I got out of my car and I went back and said, oh, he gave me the wrong change. Maybe that's extreme, but you know, I do think that we need to pray for these particular type of virtues. And I think that's, you know, I think Satan's rampant today, Monsignor, and we see this because you see how vice has been accepted as a good. People justify their behavior. But there are different lines too, right? I mean, we could talk about robbing a bank, which people say, oh, that's wrong, versus taking a piece of fruit and eating it in the store or stealing something else. People do it all the time. Let me take a break. We can talk about, you know, that and a whole lot more. I want to talk about making recompense. I'm going to grab a few phone calls too. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. We are taking a look at breaking the seventh commandment. It seems to be very common today. Question is why? And you might be surprised at what the church says you have to do to make atonement. Stay with me. I'll be right
back. We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, if you are just joining me, exploring really the seventh commandment, you said, what? Well, let me tell you why. Walmart, Target, all limiting self-checkouts in some stores. Why are they doing that? I thought they wanted that, right? Well, because people are stealing from them. I saw a stat. LendingTree did this study. 15% of respondents said they have stolen from a store using self-checkout. 44% of that group said, we would do it again. So, I mean, it's crazy. And you see it in the news, right? You turn on your news, you see how people are pillaging, just taking high-end products. And organized crime could be behind some of this. But really, what we're talking about today is building the moral person, right? How do you build virtue and overcome vice in the human heart? You know, you want that personally. You want it for your spouse. You certainly want it for your children. And stealing, I think most people know is wrong. You know, robbing a bank is wrong, but is robbing from the grocery store or keeping the incorrect change or doing something like that wrong? What about this thought, too? What about actively contributing to the common good? I mean, do you love your neighbor? Do you lift them up? Or do you exploit them? Do you underpay somebody? You know, do you neglect certain people? There are a lot of different ways that we can take a look at this. How do you fulfill your daily duty? Are you robbing your employer of a good day's work because you're being lazy, right? You're taking an extra long lunch, or you're coming in late, or you ever think about those? You know, that is a form of, I think it's a form of theft. The other question, and we'll explore this. What does the church teach about the importance of restitution? How do you make amends? Let's jump right in the phones. My guest today, Monsignor Brian Bransfield. David, in Miami, you're on the air with Monsignor Bransfield. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the reason why people have that sense of maybe anger, that they're being taken advantage of, so it's sort of a way of getting back at them, and maybe also no one has a sense of right and wrong anymore. The people, you know, are sort of not into church like they used to be.
Yeah.
And so they don't have a sense of consequences. Like it says in the Bible, you will sow, you shall reap what you sow.
Yeah.
So maybe if people get back to consequences and understanding that, maybe that will help them sort of get back to, you know, treating people correctly.
Well, David, let me just say, you bring up phenomenal points. And Monsignor, I'll reset them just so you can address those. He says, maybe some people are doing this out of anger, like they want to get back, you know, because they feel exploited or whatever, slighted, or, you know, the prices are too high, whatever. They find a way to justify their actions. Two, he says, we don't understand right or wrong. And that happens when we don't have God in our life. When you don't have God, there's no moral consequence. That brings us to the third point. There are no consequences. I used to teach my kids all the time, actions have consequences. Make good decisions. Actions have consequences, not only in the temporal, but in the spiritual. Maybe you can address those 3 points. I think he hit a home run.
I agree with you, Drew. I think David was right on. You know, there is a sense of anger and desperation, but of course you never handle anger with revenge, because then you just wound yourself. So we can take our anger on about situations or other people out in such a way that morally harms ourselves or other people either. So anger misplaced can really backfire on us. The second is, there is an erosion of the sense of right and wrong. And that's what we were saying. You know, if we're unfaithful in small matters, be unfaithful in large matters. So that's why it's always good to be respectful of the rights of others, so that we don't give evil an inroad, even in a small matter. And this lack of consequences today, the sense that there is no follow through, as long as I get away with it, it's okay. But of course, that's not true either, because we're creating our moral self by what we do. We're becoming less virtuous and participating in vice. That way, the next time something bad comes along, it's easier to do the wrong thing. And that's not good for us, our families, or those around us.
Amen to that. Let's go to Frank in Philly. Frank, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Monsignor. Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Just want to let you know, Drew, I hear what you're saying about the 10 cents change. I went to Catholic school 12 years, altar boy, St. Tim's and Father Judge. I was also a brand new cop when this happened. It was back in 1993, 94. Two times it was a supermarket. The third time it was on, I forget, Kmart or Toys R Us, one of those things. The supermarket was either $2 or $3, and the Kmart or Toys R Us was $8. $8, about 30 years ago. I went to customer service. All three times they told me, don't worry about it. It's too much trouble for us to figure out what happened and go through and correct the mistake. Don't worry about it. They didn't want the stuff back.
All right.
I saw the money, $8 30 years ago.
And I kidding. Hey, well, Frank, I'm glad you were a police officer. I mean, good moral guys like you. And let's pick up on Frank's point. You know, he tried to make recommends. He wanted to give the money back. What does the church demand of us? What does it say? Okay, I've broken the seventh commandment. I have stolen something that doesn't belong to me, or I didn't give my employer what was just, or I cheated on my taxes, or whatever, right? There's lots of ways that we steal, yet we justify it. Oh, the government's got enough. I'm going to lie about my deductions, right? How do we make atonement for that? How do we make compensation?
It's an excellent question, Drew. The church has a long tradition of reparative justice, commutative justice. We have to repair the injustice that's taken place. And we look to Luke, chapter 19, when Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he says to the Lord Jesus, notice, when he meets Jesus, what does he say? If I've defrauded anyone, I restore it. I do it fourfold, he says. So anyone who directly or indirectly has taken, stolen something from others, they're obliged to make restitution to them to return the equivalent in kind, in service, or in money to the best of their ability. If those goods have disappeared, if they're not able to anymore, they have to do something in a way to compensate for that in some other way. So it's very, very important that we make restitution because we restore the order of justice to the extent we can. And that helps heal us also through the sacrament of penance, through confession, to confess the sin of stealing. So it's very important that anyone who's ever taken part in a theft goes to confession when they've knowingly benefited from it, that they're obliged to make restitution in proportion to their responsibility to the extent they can. They don't have to reveal their identity necessarily if they're doing it as from confession, but it's not to be imposed as a penance, for example, to give the money back. But it is an act of justice that they ought to participate in. We're not called to the impossible, so that if they don't have the means, it should be some symbolic restitution giving to the poor or something like that.
Yeah, as I was thinking, if somebody cheated on their taxes or they took from their work, you know, they stole the pens, maybe you don't want to go to your boss, hey, by the way, I took all paper, you know, it's like, but it might be good to say, okay, I'm going to make a charitable contribution to, you know, this charity, and at the same time, I'm going to give something extra to the employer, you know, maybe some more time, whatever it might be. Maggie, what did you do? Can you share it? No, I know you were laughing.
I know, I'm just laughing at myself because I actually did this recently. I am pregnant, and sometimes I get hungry, and there was one day.
I was wondering where my lunch went.
No, we have Maggie. We have the Merry Beggar actors come through sometimes, and sometimes there's like snacks left in the green room, and there was half a box of Triscuits.
That's funny.
And I couldn't help myself. I ate them, and then I felt so bad. I confessed it, and then I went and bought a new box of Triscuits.
There you go.
And put it on the table. And it just, I had to like laugh at myself. I was like, this is so dumb.
That's a great example, though, Maggie. It's perfect follow-up, huh, Father, to making recommends.
Yes, and it's a fine example to say, I'll give this back. Of course, if you could presume that they would have given you consent to have that, it legitimately, perhaps it was okay, you know, if you think they would have said, yes, you can have that as a friend, then maybe that would have been something they would have done.
All right, Christian in Portland, Oregon. I only have a moment or two, but go right ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering if anyone thinks that the corporations are helping dictating the culture. I don't want to say making this happen, but for example, a grocery store wants to cut costs, so they get rid of a few line checkers, and then they put the self-check in. People are, you know, feel like stealing, so then they have to hire a security guard. COVID seems like a pretty good example of the last 4 years of corporations sort of beating people down and sort of steering them into a less moral.
Christian, lifestyle. Thank you for bringing that up. I have less than a minute, so I'm going to let Monsignor have the final word here and respond to you on that point.
I think it's an excellent point that the balance that through the means of production that, you know, obviously the exclusive norm can never just be a profit. So there has to be a balance of solidarity with the goods of the earth, the goods of creation, so that it's balanced out in a way that helps to benefit society.
Well, Monsignor, you and I will talk again soon. I always enjoy our exchanges. Thanks for being here today. So good to talk with you. Say a prayer for Monsignor Brian Bransfield. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. We'll talk about Madonna's near-death experience.